Some guys will just feed you lies, but I'll go to Laputa.
Wow. Good way to combine the memes. I'm proud of you, son.
Wow. Cool. Thanks.
Wow. Neat. Interesting.
Thank you, Pino. Very cool.
I'm dying. Let me tell you something.
The family jewels.
No, no. I have two right here.
Wait, why are we all so old?
Don't touch it. If you touch it, I will die.
No, it's because we haven't been to our country in forever.
Oh, no. It's been so long.
It's only been a week or bi-weekly, like we mentioned last week.
You know why it's been so long?
Because it was 2 weeks, basically.
No, because it's been one full season of the Funky Anime Podcast. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the season finale of season one of the Funky Anime Podcast. It's been a year.
Holy Jesus Christ.
It's almost quitting time.
Guys, it's almost time to leave. We've been here for several days now.
This train keeps rolling.
I haven't seen my family in months.
If anything, we're doing cooler stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't think anything will top our excellent Bobobo episode.
Well, no. What if I told you?
Nope, you can't say anything.
What if I told you?
Spoilers.
What if I told you that I am a person? What if I told you we live in a society?
We live in a society. Hey, guys. Welcome to the Funky Anime Podcast.
You brought it back.
Welcome to the season finale of season one.
Yay.
And, remember, we are actually going to be doing a Q&A video next time in between seasons. So if you want to, you can tweet at us at 3WeeBros, T-H-R-E-E-A-W-E-E-B-R-O-S, or if you look up Funky Anime Podcast or 3WeeBros on Twitter, or you can email us at funkyanimepodcast.com. That is F-U-N-K-Y-P-O-D-C-A-S-T. Nope.
You can do contact at funkyanimepodcast.com.
Nope. Cross out what I just said. That was wrong. I'm stupid. funkyanimepodcast@gmail.com or contact@funkyanimepodcast.com.
You got it, kiddo.
Yeah. So if you have any questions, shoot them our way. Tweet at us. We'll be great.
We should have picked a shorter fucking name.
No. You could just call us FAP.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So.
Here we are.
The small child.
Excuse you. Bless you. I heard you.
It was only a matter of time.
Okay, it happens.
Allergies.
Okay, we'll do it again.
That's for our editor to know, and you to never.
Yeah,
find
for
out.
Me. Thank God. Stupid. The small child running with a crystal around his neck away. That's Pino.
Ah, my crystal!
There he goes.
I forgot my crystal.
The evil businessman walking after him menacingly. Well, that's Garb.
Muda.
That's the wrong anime, mister. I'm running away.
And the pirate ship driving through the land after the... Pino, well, that's me, Chuck.
Wait, so are the pirate ship?
Hey, guys, it's me, the pirate ship.
I have some bad news for you, pirate ship. I'm still running, but I got some bad news for you.
What's up?
I can't tell you.
Okay, bye.
So you won't be up for much longer, that's what's up.
Hey guys, we didn't listen to anything.
Well, I guess I did.
We watched. Shut up. We watched Castle in the Sky.
Wow.
For this final episode of this first season.
It only took us 20 fucking 6 episodes to watch Studio Ghibli.
Yes, or Ghibli, or
I'm sorry, who is Studio this Studio Geronimo Ghibli you guys keep mentioning? Because I have no idea what those trash animators do.
Guys, guess what? Studio Ghibli is a animation company.
Okay, so?
It's a film studio, which is found in Tokyo, Japan.
Okay.
And it was created in June 15th, 1985, by directors Hayao Miyazaki, Isao Takahata, and producer Toshio Suzuki. And they were all previously established they were all just previously established in their roles within the animation industry. So, these fools were like, you know what, let's make an animation studio. So they did.
And they did a damn good job.
And then they're like, you know what we're going to do? Just make some bomb-ass movies.
Yeah, and they only do movies. They don't do shows. They're not like Toei where they'll do one movie and you're like, wow, is this what the anime is going to look like? No, it's not what it looks like.
I hate to break it to you guys, but it's not right.
Yeah. If you're already invested, keep watching. If not, turn back now. Run.
Go quick.
I'm still running. Can I stop?
No.
Okay.
Bye.
He ran so far away that he still found One Piece because it's so big. It's so long. He can't avoid it.
Like these nuts.
No.
Got him.
I tried.
We watched, as we said before, we watched Castle in the Sky. This was the first film created by Studio Ghibli. There is actually a movie called Nausicaä of the Valley of the Wind, which was released in 1984, which was technically not a Studio Ghibli film. It was before it was
officially like named Studio Ghibli.
Well, no, it was official before it was even made. It was just with a lot of the key players within. Yeah.
So it's kind of a spiritual, not successor, the other one, a spiritual beginning. That doesn't make sense. Continue.
How about predecessor?
Predecessor, spiritual predecessor.
Prequel. Yeah, so what we watched, Castle in the Sky, was our first ever film.
Yeah.
And it was pretty dang good.
It set the bar of entry to be pretty high, and they have gotten only better from here.
Mm-hmm. It was first released on August 2nd, 1986, and obviously was made by Studio Ghibli. And it's a dang good movie. I really don't know where to start talking about this
I've got a good transition if we want to start talking about the how we first were introduced to it.
Sure, let's do that because we have things to talk about. So let's do that first.
Oh yeah, because this is only the second Studio Ghibli movie I've seen, but I've seen a lot of like GIFs and stuff. I've always liked what I saw. But it's just so good, and I'm too used to watching trash. Like Dragon Ball and Toei. Man, we shit on Toei a lot. They deserve it.
Which is ironic, because Castle in the Sky was actually distributed by Toei.
Yeah, fuck them. They just want to get their grubby hands in there.
You're not wrong.
Yeah, exactly. But, yeah, Ghibli's just... I always have high expectations and I'm never let down, but I also watch so much garbage that it's not hard to impress me.
You're right. Pino?
Don't be sad.
How did you?
Did I bash Toei too hard? Did you take it personally as a One Piece fan?
No, I'm rubbing my eyes, bros. So I can't see. Okay, let me try again. What was the question? I'm sorry, I was looking for the names.
Like, first impressions, like, introductions.
Oh, just to Ghibli like or that, to the movie?
To just, like, Ghibli and...
Okay, so...
You see any of the other ones? I've seen Spirited Away. That's the only other one I've seen.
So, I remember as a kid, Studio Ghibli...
Ghibli!
I'm sorry. By the way, I have a serious add-on while you two were laughing it up. I have friends that like only watch Disney movies, and they even know Studio Ghibli, and they don't even watch anime. Y'all aren't paying attention at all.
Why did I just say that? At the start?
The joke didn't land with me, and so they just kept going.
What?
This is the situation. Whenever you're the one person that doesn't get the joke.
Okay,
reason why people who watch Disney know about Ghibli films are actually because there was a partnership put in on, I think, 1995, in which Disney had the rights to localize and distribute it within their markets. So that's why there is a original dub made in like 1996, 97.
Aha.
And then there's a dub that was made in 2003 by Disney.
See, that explains why I know so many people who specifically like Disney who know Ghibli films. That explains it. I did not know that. I learned something.
What? You mean Disney didn't make this art?
Art? No. Guys, I can't believe that Disney doesn't make all animation ever.
I can't believe they stopped making 2D animated movies. Sorry for such a bad joke, and I'm glad Chuck like recovered himself like a second faster than I thought he would. 15 seconds faster than I thought he would. But I do remember as a kid on Cartoon Network, they used to have months of like Studio Ghibli for some reason.
Really?
And they would show movies, some of the Ghibli movies back in the day. I remember that's how I first sort of saw Spirited Away. They might have shown Castle in the Sky. I do remember commercials, perhaps, for Castle in the Sky, but there were a handful for different Ghibli movies.
Yeah.
But this is one I don't actually recall. Only the girl with the pigtails. She just looked very familiar to me. But I have seen or been exposed to, you know, GIFs and like everybody saying, the studio's the best. And I'm just like,
studio
I can't
stinky.
Really judge because I can't watch it.
It's a
like My Neighbor Totoro. I'm probably. That probably made a ton of money.
What? Oh.
Well, because I used
My Neighbor Jotaro.
Jotaro knocking on the door.
But no, Jotaro just standing like massively over like a small person holding a umbrella. Castle in the Sky was their first one, won a lot of fucking films, like won a lot of awards, has a 95% rating on Rotten Tomatoes.
Wow. Even on Rotten Tomatoes, where they're like harsh on there. Like,
yeah.
Like, do you guys watch Red Letter Media at all?
I can't read.
Okay. Makes sense. All right. Continue.
Okay. So there's a lot of, interesting parts, but, like that's as it's still a very good movie, but it was not, they didn't have the brand recognition as it will later on with like Spirited Away, My Neighbor Totoro, shit like that. So it's not as well known as in the West.
Yeah.
Because it's sadly because this is a very good film.
Yeah, this is excellent.
I had fun,
We all had fun. And I just really love this thing.
And this is the first time we've talked about Ghibli on the podcast.
Yeah, which is a miracle at this point, because if we were releasing weekly content, we would have hit this by now. But we don't hate ourselves. So this film was directed by Miyazaki. Our favorite anime was A Mistake Man.
Yeah, but it was a mistake.
Produced by Isao Takahata, which was the other founding member of Ghibli, was written by Miyazaki again. And the music, which is so good, was produced by
Jojo.
Okay, Joe Hisaishi.
There's another Jojo reference.
Guys, part 5 came out recently, and we've just got it on the mind, okay?
It's true.
When did we not have it on the mind?
That's a good point.
Sorry,
and he's done a lot of Ghibli films. He's done
because he's a legend. He's like Miyamoto of anime.
He did, yeah, he did, like, My Neighbor Totoro, he did Kiki's Delivery Service, he did Porsa Rosso, which is actually a really fucking good film. We need to watch that. Like, Princess Mononoke, he did Spirited Away, yeah. He did Howl's Moving Castle, he did Ponyo. Oh, man, that was a good one.
That was good.
And then...
There's so good stuff, done, man.
He's done some real big ones like some of the most iconic Ghibli films around.
Yeah.
So he knows what he's doing, and this was his first project with the film studio.
Yeah.
Obviously, because it was the first film ever in the studio, and you know, we're gonna talk about that. So let's just jump right into it. Let's just go, dude.
Thanks, Philip DeFranco.
Thanks, it's me, Philly D. Let's just stab right in.
He might be toilet. Philly D, but I'll take you to Mickey D's.
Good wow. one, Pina. Thanks.
Way to bring it back around.
To
I
joke that
bring
we can
it round right, baby, right round like a record player.
So, let's just...
let's hop right into the review.
No, so let's talk about the presentation first. I want to talk about the animation.
It's Ghibli. What else is there to say?
Well, for those who are unaware of what Ghibli was or is and will be, a mistake. What? I very much enjoyed the animation scene here. Very fluid, especially on some of the more simpler and some of the more action packed moments. I recall how this was near towards the end of the movie where. One of our characters is on the bottom of this floating castle in the sky.
Pazuzu's who you're looking for.
Yeah, no, I know. We'll talk about the characters later.
But you could add a
mysterious
face to
character with a hat and goggles who has a voice of a man.
No.
Him attempting to climb some of the branches from underneath. There was I relate it to like a Scooby Doo moment where they're like, they have a very fluid like animating style of them trying to climb up there, mm-hmm. and I was just like, very,
yeah,
like
it looked really good though.
In my body, I was like, ooh, that's something you don't see every day.
Now you mentioned something about how even when there wasn't a lot going on,
mm-hmm.
like during the small little scenes, but even in scenes like that, they still had something happening. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just nothing.
There's no Toei static images with mouths moving. That's
why do we always throw Toei under
dialogue.
The bus?
I'm not throwing them under a bus as much as I'm just giving an example.
Of course,
because everyone knows what it looks like.
It's true.
Like,
yeah. It's like family.
I was joking.
No, shut. I
of course, my friends, we call that limited animation, which became more prevalent in the 21st century price cutting.
Yep, absolutely.
Method,
mm-hmm. and it makes sense. Gets a product out faster. It makes sense.
Yeah,
right.
But we talk about it a lot and call it stinky. And the animation's so nice. Like,
it's gorgeous.
Because all at this time, it was still all hand drawn animation. The backgrounds. Are just phenomenal. Everything.
Gotta
was
talk
made.
About the backgrounds. Oh
my,
man,
dude, I've been dying to talk about the backgrounds.
I've been dying to talk about the backgrounds.
It's so good. Like I can't even explain how beautiful some of these are. Like
oh, yeah.
I could
watercolor.
Take a bunch of these and just make them my like desktop wallpaper. It's so nice.
And that's
I like.
It's really saying something.
It takes your breath away for sure, and then animation wise it's fantastic as well. There's a lot of little things, like you will get hair flowing in the wind, there's like a little like jitter within the character, they're not standing still, they're always moving. It's a fluid animation and fluid characters, because that's what you're getting. Like these are characters that you're supposed to be able to like relate to and see who they are and understand who they are just by their actions. And that actually was something that was really interesting. You didn't get so the first scene of the movie, I'm going to hop ahead here a little bit.
That's fine.
The first scene of the movie is Sheeta's in an airship along with a bunch of evil suit men, and pirates invade. and she like gets out the window. She like,
and they just goes jump over into the side,
and then she falls. But in all of that, you don't hear her speak once.
Oh, I never but noticed there's, that.
There's so well, I don't know with the dubs, but I know with the subs, the original, it's just complete silence from her. The guys still talk, and like the pirates still talk, but she's dead silent, and she doesn't talk until she wakes up and goes like up this ladder to hear Pazu play the trumpet in the morning. You don't hear her talk at any time before that.
Huh.
So you only know how like who she is by her actions, which is a huge thing, especially during this film, because it is 2 hours long.
And you were telling me how you were amazed by how little music there is compared to other stuff we've seen. There's an interesting thing about that I'll point up. Go ahead.
There's a lot of, like, about half the movie, I'd say, has no music, which is...
It is 100% a thought-out artistic choice, I promise you that.
Yeah, 100%. Oh, yeah, absolutely. They weren't just like, oh, fuck, no music for this part.
Guys,
like,
I forgot to upload
Hey, I'm Miyazaki.
It's not going to be on Napster now.
Splice it in.
It's fine. Just release it. I have a good feeling anyways.
anime sucks.
tell anyone.
But it's wonderful because with that silent moments, there's a lot of time to reflect, especially one of the scenes that got to, like, that was lent to the no music the most was actually the scene where the pair is underground and before they meet the old wrinkly man and shit.
Oh, yeah, when they're going in the cave.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there was no music for the duration of them falling into this pit until the rock, like the lights turn out with the old guy and the rock.
Yeah.
They start to light up. Then they add music.
Yeah.
But through that entire sequence, there's nothing. There's only like ambience. And it's fantastic. Like it... I don't know how to describe it other than it adds gravity to the situation. Yeah. Like there's nothing. Yeah, there's nothing to like focus on besides the characters and what they're doing.
Yeah.
Besides them eating their egg before they eat their toast, and I'm like, what the hell are you guys doing?
It's so weird.
That was. I hated that, but it was animated very nicely, so I was okay with it.
Would be so bad.
Well, okay. Even though I have a problem with it, I've done it before, so.
Okay.
I mean, I judged, and then I realized I misjudged because I too ate egg with eggs were a mistake.
Yeah, and there's a lot. There were definitely some animations reused, like you know, cycle animations, because you're not gonna fucking animate
cycles
500 running. Yeah, of course.
Yeah, cycles, that makes sense. But like a whole like fight sequence, if they were to reuse bits of that, then I would be upset. But a walk cycle, fucking who cares?
Yeah, and there's one of the most impressive bits of animation was actually it was near the beginning of the movie when the pirates were in the mining town and the two guys were in a flex off.
Oh yeah,
and
that was great.
Their chest,
so good.
Hey,
like,
rip off your shirt.
Because you can. Yeah, I know, you can get like the stretch and then you can see them flexing and you can see the fabric like pulling.
Oh, it's so good.
And like all the individual parts of it, and you can feel it, and then it rips. And you can see like the shreds of shirt like coming off on both of the guys. And it's just so nice. And there's
one all thing the little that like things.
I didn't really expect was the amount of slapstick in this film.
Yeah.
There's a whole lot, and
him
I'm like
just falling down and just going fucking straight through the house.
Well, I mean,
Yeah,
I mean, I would assume, I don't know the demographic for this film, but I would assume it was aimed towards a more kind of
a younger audience,
which is why there was a lot more slapstick, which I was a fan of, you know.
I'm not saying it's a bad.
Oh, no, I never said that either. I didn't accuse
you.
No,
yeah, I'm just.
It's just refreshing to see not.
Yeah, it's completely different than like because we've said before, we were watching JoJo because it just released this past week.
And it's very manly men.
And it's very manly men punching the shit out of each other and like just like smashing into the floor and like having indents in their head and their eyes pulled out and all that shit.
And I'm barfing out an eye.
And here it's just let's punch this dude real hard.
Boink.
Yeah. And it's just like, haha, they're punching, haha.
And it's really nice. And there's a lot of air scenes as well, like in, like, obviously in the sky, in airships, and the castles in the sky, obviously. And you can see the wind. And that's one of the coolest parts about this movie to me, because they would always have to pay attention to the atmosphere that they're in.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the hair was always fantastic. The fabric you would see moving along with the wind, and, like, the speed. And when, like, Patsu and Shida were both in, like, the crow's nest.
Yeah.
Like, you would see all of the fabric and the... And you could feel, like, the...
That it was cold up there.
The wind. Yeah, it was fucking
Because the other freezing. Guy warns them and, like, gives him, like, just in whenever they the first jacket. Switch to that scene, he was like, here, it's cold, you're gonna need this. And then they continue on to the next scene.
Yeah. It's really interesting.
Similar to that scene, I remember a little bit after, there was a part where Shida, like the wind was flowing and, like, it was blowing Sheeta's hair, and she just kinda, like, pulled back both of her braids. I just wanted to share that. That made me giggle. I was like, that could have hit you in the face.
Yeah.
Sorry. It's like in what was the show we watched where, like, someone every time she would bow her head.
Oh, it was Made in Abyss.
Flip on the table.
That was Made in Abyss. Yeah.
That was Made in Abyss. Okay.
That was that's what it reminded me of. I'm like, oh, they blew her ponytails right off.
It happened.
And then the grandma in the dub, I don't know if it does this in the other version, but the grandma said something really funny about, oh man, you got your pigtails blown off.
She's like, isn't it the worst thing that your pigtails got shot off? And I'm like, this is very good. I like this.
I like that too.
That was very funny. So I just don't know which team is responsible for that, because that's a really good joke.
Yeah. Yeah, it was definitely Spirited Away. Or not. I wish I was dead. No, it was from Miyazaki and Those Fools, because that was in the dub.
Aha.
Wait, what?
You
said it was from Miyazaki. It was in the dub.
Yeah, no, it was in the sub. I'm sorry. Miyazaki wrote the movie. Shh.
Okay, cool.
Shh.
I'm shushing.
I'm trying to sleep.
Let him nap.
Patsu, wake up.
What?
Grandpa?
Yes?
Oh, sorry, I meant Grandma.
Oh, no.
What is it?
Thank you for waking up and listening to our conversation. Now I must murder you with my destruction spell.
All right, go ahead.
Oh, no.
Oh, there she goes. Back to sleep.
Yep.
Wait a second, you can hear me?
What? No, maybe. Don't worry about it, okay? Okay. I'm supposed to. You're the dummies who weren't paying attention.
You know what? You're right. Wait, that's why we're in the hurricane. Ah.
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 Ah. I'm the best.
Okay, so we've.
You might have to cut the next part out.
Why?
Can I say it?
No, yeah, don't you can say it.
Say it. Say it.
I'm not saying it.
Okay.
Garb knows now.
I know exactly what it is.
Okay.
Okay. Sorry.
Are you sure?
I'm completely sure. I can't say it.
Are we gonna leave the viewers up to their own?
Yeah, you can imagine.
They know what to
listen. They know.
They know.
So let's just slide into the OST, the soundtrack of this
Pardon?
Movie.
The soundtrack of this movie.
Wow, that was actually really nice.
Thanks.
Hello, guys. Welcome to ASMR.
No.
This is where we talk about the soundtrack.
No.
The music.
The way I mix this, it doesn't sound good when you're that bassy guys, and that close.
Guys, I really like the soundtrack.
Guys, the soundtrack's real good.
Yeah.
Like, oof, there's no... There's no, like, opening. There is technically an ending song, which is just called Castle in the Sky. Oh, boys. I cried.
It didn't get me. I did feel emotional, but I didn't cry.
I was happy. It was. Well, I was full of good vibes at the end. I was like...
Yeah. Well, like, I was filled with good vibes, but I was still crying. Well, like, to be fair, I've cried for a lot of films.
If it makes me sad, it'll make me cry. But this didn't make me sad. This just made me feel like, all right, they did it.
Stop trying to make Ghibli happy.
It's gonna happen.
And Gretchen.
Patsu.
Patsu. Get in, loser.
It's real good. Like, so
get in, loser. We're going to Laputa.
Thank you. I tried finishing that joke, but I didn't have one, and you brought it back.
You're welcome. I had to.
Proud of you.
Thank you.
So, the soundtrack is very good. Beautiful. Like I said,
beautiful score.
Like I said, it was by Joe.
Dude, Joe.
Hisaishi, who...
has he done anything else that I'm familiar with?
He done... Remember, before we talked a lot about Studio Ghibli, he done all the big ones.
Dude, I love the big ones.
He did My Neighbor Totoro. He did King's Delivery Service. He did Porco Rosso. He did Mononoke. He did Spirited Away. He did Howl's Moving Castle. He did a lot.
Yeah, that's Mobile really Suit good. Gundam, let's see. I'm looking too. I pulled it
I miss the simpler times when it was like a lot more orchestrated. I mean, I know now we have different varieties of music, like we've got all that electronic stuff, but it's really nice going back to a time with a lot of violins and, you know, trumpets. It's
beautiful. It was, great. It was the one thing that it, like, both Garb and I both remind us of was RPGs, like like classic SNES RPGs.
No,
like,
Chrono Trigger, Final Fantasy 4 and 6.
Yeah,
no, I was reading the Wikipedia because
it's Final Fantasy 6 in Japan. Final Fantasy 4 released on the SNES, but I just call it 6.
Oh, we were talking about the same one.
Yes, we're talking about the same one.
Oh.
As I was saying, I was reading in at the most important internet source in the world, Wikipedia.
Kotaku?
Oh, no, not that one. The second one.
The second mess.
And I saw in the little, like, I guess, like, the extra, not the extra page. I don't know what it's called, but, like, this movie was an inspiration for a lot of different media, including the Final Fantasy series. Like, that's why they have a lot of kind of like motifs that are similar to the film, which I thought was pretty cool. Which was
like the technology / magic
things in the sky.
It's a big one, airships. Yeah. And
which I'm all for.
It's just real good, especially the scene with the combat with the robot the first time within the military base.
That was just a Metal Gear. Otacon.
This is just like one of my Japanese animes.
Otacon, what is that thing in the sky? Snake, that's the castle in the sky.
Meanwhile, Revolver Ocelot is the Kimono Friends Ocelot picture you shoot. Where it's just Revolver Ocelot with cat ears.
He's napping on the tree.
La 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 la. La 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 la.
So along with that, we have what was it even talking about?
The music.
Well, the music's real good. I don't know if you guys have anything to add. I just really enjoyed it really helped. Beautiful.
My expectations were high and they were met. That's what I'll say.
Mm-hmm.
They were always fun in the fun sections, serious in the serious sections, and action-y in the action-y section.
And mysterious, and that's why it sounded like Chrono Trigger. It's very
melancholy. The action scenes were like Final Fantasy VI. Spooky was Chrono Trigger. Happy was I don't even know the way. But it was real good.
Chrono Trigger again. Just Chrono Trigger's even happy songs are kind of melancholy, and it's really nice.
Okay, so
minus 7 chords.
What do we talk about openings, endings, but we don't got those.
Yep.
Talk about the ending
song.
Plot.
It was beautiful.
Yeah, we'll talk about the ending song real quick. It's real good. It's titled "Castle in the Sky." Sorry, I almost vomited on myself.
Oh no!
And it plays in the end with bait. It's not like a static image. It
it's like a screensaver.
It has the castle floating. Yeah, it's a.
It
it's
might
a,
as well be.
It's an animated screensaver, but it's good.
Yeah,
I like it.
Still
the song
good,
was
but and especially
pretty.
Since we didn't get like a slideshow opening to like exaggerate it. Yeah,
yeah.
Like this was,
but
fun.
Also like it because of the. I think because it was animated so well, I was perfectly fine with it, and it was a very nice, somber way to finish the.
Yeah, they could take one break, one shortcut.
Yeah, I'll take them.
I'm confused. Did that castle go into space, or is it like in the hemisphere, like the stratosphere?
I think it's in the hemisphere.
Okay, good, because I don't think those animals. Only those animals are living up there in space.
Well, I mean, it's space squirrels. They're fine. They're built for space. That's why they call them space squirrels.
Okay, cool. But what about the birds? What about the tree?
Is that going to be the thumbnail?
Space
trees or space trees?
There's a picture of Sandy Cheeks on inside the castle in the sky. No thanks.
No, so let's just crack on with the plot because it's like not we're not trying to cram in 26 episodes or whatever into one 10 second. So
let's take it through.
We're just gonna kind of take this step by step. So we are greeted with our first protagonist, Sheeta, who is on an airship, being
taken prisoner, right? Mostly,
yeah. Was kidnapped by these business boys, and you're like, oh no, business!
Oh no, Mr. Business.
I hate stocks in Wall Street.
I hate the media. Wait.
She doesn't. Wait a second.
Mr. But
she
doesn't want to be here. Who works at the job factory?
But she didn't want to be there, obviously. And then there are pirates, and they're like, "Pew, let's get in here." And they're like, "Let's fucking find these."
And they were like, "Why is that one stretchy?"
I was gonna make that. I was gonna say, "Wait a second, this isn't the One Piece."
Yeah, no. And so she, like we said before, she tried to escape. She smashed a bottle on a dude's head. And then she climbed out the window and then fell. And then she fell and was falling.
And she was saved by a rock.
And falling. And then Patsu was also looking.
He was working. He was working on the rail.
Well, he was getting meatballs.
Ah, yes.
And then he got meatballs and then he saw her falling. He was like, oh, shit.
It's a girl.
She's like, oh, I gotta chow down real quick.
This is the only time that I'll ever see a girl in my life, so better
except
make it count.
Except for my mom, who appears later in the movie.
So he books it. The mom doesn't appear later in the movie.
What do you mean?
That's a different family.
Oh, that's a different family?
No, it's not.
Dang.
It's not the mom. No. He's an orphan.
Dang. No, but it's not his real... It's the one that everyone calls mom.
Moms can be not by blood. Come on.
Yeah, I know, but it's not his actual mom.
Okay. Yeah, no, because he's an orphan. Yeah,
he's an orphan,
but he calls
boy.
Her mom. You're an orphan. That's well, mom yes. to him.
But she's falling, but then the rock around her neck is like pew, and you're like, oh, it's light, and then she floats down. He catches her. She's heavy. He almost falls into a giant cave. Puts her down.
Now.
Dude yells at her, and then he finishes his job and brings her back to his house.
Little they
not
know.
Not creepy.
The pirates are on
what?
Their way.
Yar. And Yar. So, after a touching scene of birds and bread...
I love birds.
Guys, PSA here. Don't feed birds bread.
No.
It's bad for their digestive system. Give them seeds and fruit.
Oh no. Yes. I guess I shouldn't have fed the bird.
Oh no. I fed them metal.
I'm sorry, birds.
Gohan, you must perform a surgery on this bird.
No,
I don't want.
I'm whining.
Well, I'm ahead right now, so you have
no,
do it. Don't.
Okay, shut up. Shut
Android
up.
16, so can I just continue watching Studio Ghibli films?
No, you must submit to Toei.
This bit is not funny. Yeah,
you're not funny.
I was bringing it back. Did you not? Were
no,
you not listening?
No, I was listening, and I was not impressed by the segue back. So once they have a good old time, they're pirates and they're like, time to run. So they fight in the streets and they get on a train. And then there's a fucking car on the rails. And I was like, this is a good scene. And then the government come and then like the military comes.
Oh, yeah.
And like, oh, no.
And Patsu's and like, then, hey, it's the government. They'll help. And they're like, ooh, the little girl. Let's get her. And she was and he was like, oh.
And then they jump.
Yep.
And then they fall into a cavern. They realize that the special stone is like a special fancy crystal that's powerful. The old man's like, put it away. It's too powerful. And then he's like, okay, go on ahead. And then
they start
their
voyage.
They escape. Then they try to escape. But then the government's like, haha, we know where you are because we listen to your phone calls. And then
thanks, Patriot Act. Oops.
And then they caught him, and a girl is being held because her crystal has actual magical powers, and there's a castle in the sky that's very, very cool and modern.
And it was one that the boy, what's his name?
Potsu.
Potman. Yeah, Potsu. Potts. And Potts was like...
That's not his name.
Potts was like, oh man, my grandpa saw it once, or my dad.
No, it was
his dad, his old man.
It was his dad. His old papa. And so she's like, if I stick with you guys and lead you to this island, will Pantsu go free? And they're like, sure, whatever. I don't care. So then they kick him out, and then he meets the pirates who are in his house eating his food, and he's like, what the fuck? And he's like, I'm going to join the pirates to save her. And then...
The pirates are like, haha, you're too bad.
Haha, we're still eating your food.
Yeah. Still eating your food, and also you're a bitch.
And then they go off. Well, during this scene, like, we really get our first introduction to Mama, who's a pretty vital character.
Yeah.
During this part, who's an old lady who's the leader of the pirates.
She's got ponytails.
It reminds me of the mom from Futurama.
She's my son! Boys, get in here! No, I don't know why she...
Hey, guys, don't forget, pirates listen to their mama.
You're right. They do. And so they fly out with their little fucking fly machines.
Thanks. And courtesy of Dr. Eggman, on the other side...
Yeah. Well, we didn't get to him yet, first off.
He's in the ship.
So, back at the military compound, Muska, I don't know, whatever, shows a little...
Moose.
No.
Did somebody mention the Door to Darkness?
This is my dumb movie. Uh-huh. I'm going to hire Mark Hamill. There he is.
No, so Sheeta and Muska show... I can edit you both out of this podcast. This can just be another episode of the Chuck Cast.
Yo, wait, that's Banjo. That's not Goofy.
Nope, shut up. Can we not? Are we good?
What?
This is now the funny noises, Cat. You may continue.
So...
I heard a little.
So Sheeta and the man who's not Mickey Mouse shows a robot, and she says the magic words, and then the robot goes boom and kills a lot of people, and then it's like the Iron Giant at the end.
Yo, I was about to say that. Then hands her off. Guys, have you noticed that the eyes of the robot look like the Steam logo?
Yes.
Okay, good. I wasn't the only one.
Yeah, it's the big dot and the little dot. And so he shoots lasers out of his eyes, and he's old technology from the space land. And so they...
space land.
Shut up. So during this crazy thing where everyone's trying to fight this robot, the boy, Pazu, and Mom both...
isn't her name Dola?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Like Stephanie Dola from No Game, No Life.
Like
that's a it's actually a reference, by the way, but yeah, well, because they also reference Castle in the Sky explicitly in No Game No Life episode 5. Go rewatch it.
Remember that.
It's actually a reference, but still. So Mama and Potsu both go fly in and try and save her, and then they do, and then they go up to the bird place where they meet all the lackeys with the pirates, and then the old man, who's my favorite character because he looks like Dr. Eggman. And actually, I did some research.
Uh-huh.
This character design predates Sonic by 5 years. By 5 years. This was released in 1986.
See, if you said Sonic 5 months...
No, 1991 was Sonic 1.
Well, I was going to say that if you would have said it was 5 months, I would have said, yeah, it was probably a coincidence then that they look so similar.
They're very close to the same. And so with that, they go fly off and follow this big old ship that's, at that point, they have the necklace that has the crystal, and they're going to the castle in the sky. And then they're flying off. You get some good quality time with Mama and old man Magoo and the crew.
Are they all his kids? Are they all their kids, or is like only a couple of them their kids?
None of them are
kids. But like, no, but like, they're like, they just call her mama for out of respect?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to call Chuck
mama
now.
It's like their thing.
Yeah.
Chuck your mama.
And...
That's our snack food.
So they are on their way, and Pazu and Sheeta are on recon duty, like connected to the ship, but they are disconnected through a storm that goes around the island in the sky, which is just a bunch of clouds, and then they go through it. And
I think
like,
that's a
well,
hurricane,
dang.
My friend.
No, it's mystical, magical clouds.
Don't tell the kids that. They're going to see one of those big mystical clouds and be like, Mama, we're staying, even though the government told us to leave.
It happens. So,
anime was a mistake.
So with that, they make it onto Laputa, which is the castle in the sky, which is the name of it, and not a bad name. It's a real thing, because it is actually a reference to one of the islands in Gulliver's Travels.
Oh, there are the book I never
nerds.
Read.
Yeah, it's a floating island, obviously, in Jonathan Swift's Gulliver's Travels, and even in the movie, Pazu references Jonathan Swift's book.
I like how they reference a lot of things. That I knew they referenced that, and they referenced I think Muska referenced like Sodom and Gomorrah from the Bible. It's like, this is the reason why they blew up. I was like,
that,
whoa.
And they all, and Muska also references Lupita's fire, Injia's arrow in Ramayana, which is a Hindu epic saga written in the 4th century BC. So it's a, and that's how Sheeta has her name, because in that story, the wife of the prince in that story, it's named Sheeta.
Nice.
So fun magic things happening.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, they make it to the castle in the sky. And so they meet Robits. And then they realize, oh, fuck, the government's here stealing all of the things.
Just as all explorers did in the past.
Which made me really sad.
Yeah.
Like, just seeing everything, like, broken down, it made me real sad.
I was like, dang, this is what the Spaniards did to my people. Yeah. I was like, wow.
It's right, like... It makes you feel gross.
Yeah, it's like a subtle like call out. It's like, yeah, when you find something new, something you want, you're just gonna go for it. And yeah, even Pazu was like, man, these guys are just a bunch of greedy brutes. And I was like, yes,
it's true. And so at that time, the pirates are all captured, but the two kids are still kicking and thriving. They found a grave. They found a robot who's real nice.
Yeah,
he's doing great. He's just he has flowers and has. Space squirrels.
He's the only like one, I guess, active at the time. And
at the time, and then with a strange turn of events, Muska is turned out to be one of the descendants of the people that lived up in the sky.
What a surprise!
Which Sheeta was also one of the descendants.
I can't believe
that that one caught me off guard. I didn't expect that one.
Yeah, but So, and then at that point, there's like, they kill a bunch of people, and we're like, oh no.
Guys,
yeah.
Run. What do you mean, run?
Yeah. And one of the,
but it never really got too violent.
Yeah.
No. Thing. The climactic scene was where, Pazu and Sheeta were like being held up at gunpoint by Muska and being like, give me the crystal. And there's like, where's that Danforth Chaos Emerald? And he's like looking for it. And he realizes that they have it, and he's like, I'll spare your life if you give it to me. And they're like, maybe. And referenced, like, before in the movie that she knows a bunch of spells. Sheeta knows a bunch of spells.
And then All of Me starts playing.
They say the spell of destruction, which essentially breaks off all of the futuristic stuff on the bottom of the island, and the only thing that was left at that point is just, like, the upper castle area and, like, the tree that's, like, the iconic tree for this movie. And so it's still just that all the stupid people die and nature will always come out on top. No matter what the fuck humans do to it, nature will kick your ass and tell you to fuck off.
Yep.
Your ass is grass.
You're right. And then they fly out and go meet up with Mama and all those crew, the pirates, and then they say goodbye. And then that's the movie.
I like the ending.
The ending was good.
I'm a sucker for like kind of like endings where it's like, where are they now, or like what they're doing. But I felt good about this one because like there was not really much to tell. I know what they were going to do. They were going to hang out and like live and see the world. Pirates were going to be pirates. So, you know, pirates do the pirate stuff and you know, the world would be safe. And obviously the rest died, so I didn't really care what happened to them. But, you know, I wasn't like with movies and with anime, sometimes you're left wanting more. This was a good kind of way to just like close it up.
Yeah, it was a very... Well, because at this point, it's been running for 2 hours.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I didn't even realize it.
I had fun.
I didn't either until like that point, which is a testament to what kind of movie it was.
I didn't pay attention to the runtime for that exact reason.
Yeah. It's like, it's just a really good, interesting movie. And it ties up almost everything that is introduced. Like, obviously, there's some things like... What happened, like, with the mining town? Like, what's the deal with that? Did
their railroad system Pazu screwed
go
up?
Go back and she. Oh yeah, their railroad's fucked. But other than that, there's a lot of like, just stuff that's like finished and like tied well with a knot and everything. Mm-hmm. So I was satisfied with the ending, especially with like you see all the pirates and you're like, hey, I love these fools, and then you see everyone, you're like, fuck yeah, dude, and then they go off. Do their own thing.
Mm-hmm. My favorite, Goofa Groobers.
Mm-hmm. It was just a very good self-contained story.
Yeah. You know, it was nice. It's nice to not see something that's like, come back next time.
It was refreshing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Especially because we just started JoJo and like just finished Dragon Ball. So, you know, we're used to that shonen.
I'm used to that with some seasonal animes that just never get a second season as well. And like now that we live in such a
no game, no life,
such a content filled world, you know, it's all about getting the next thing. Like, but this one was a nice Konosuba. Just close.
It's like and like I we talk about that a lot. Like there's shows that like don't get wrapped up, and this like I feel like it did what it set out to do, wrapped up what it needed to do. And was a good experience all the way through. There wasn't like a part where I'm like,
you can tell
why is this here? Like there was you could argue probably that you could cut down a little bit of the fat, like maybe cut down like 10 minutes or so from it, but
probably.
I feel that like it wasn't bloating the film to a point that like it was like, why is this still happening? There was a lot of kind of akin to filler, like in a normal anime, where it wouldn't be specifically to move forward the plot, but more so move forward the characters, which I really enjoyed. Like the scene where Shida is like making dinner and like doing everything in the kitchen, and then literally everyone on the crew goes in to like help her, and like that was just like a little funny thing. And I was like, this is good.
I really like those moments. Like it. It's like it builds character to those that don't really have anything to see because they weren't really the main focus, but they became pertinent to the movie later on.
It helps you forget about the story for just a second, so that way it's all that more impactful when they have to bring it back again.
Well, because it's like there's like this big threatening like cataclysmic thing that could be happening with this mystical island that all these people are going to go and, like, destroy and loot and everything, and you're just like, chill out for a goddamn second, and let's talk, and, like, let's just chill with these guys for, like, 10 minutes. That's all we ask for, and it's, like, it's good.
Mm-hmm.
I love that about everyone, like, there's ways to do filler and this type of stuff well,
yeah,
and to do it bad. Filler, good filler, while it might not be moving forward the story, if it moves forward the characters and becomes a, like, important to the characters or, like, helps develop them in some way, I'm great with it. I love that shit. Mm-hmm. I adore...
Hmm? I feel like if it were a minute and 30 seconds long, or an hour and 30 seconds long, sorry, if it were an hour and 30 seconds long and there was still that much filler, then I'd be like, they were trying to stretch it to 90 minutes.
Yeah.
But this is only 2 hours long.
All right, time to go to the city in the sky. 30 minutes of them cleaning plates, brushing their teeth.
Well, like, it's... Even at that point, like, even if this movie was, like, you know, an hour 30 minutes, hour 45, I would still feel the same way because there's nothing that overstayed its welcome. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah,
because it's very... Because there's... To a point where you can tell that you're like, okay, this is, like, way too much. Like, I never had that point with this, which is phenomenal, which speaks volumes.
They gave me time to digest that there's robots now.
You're right. And then they killed one. And you're like, it's the Iron Giant. No. No.
Where's the robot, Mansley?
Rest in peace, like, Uncle Phil.
Guys, rest in peace.
Robot.
Is there, like, anything that you, like, want to talk about specifically, just, like, about the movie as a whole?
I like the part where they do the thing. Patsu is explaining something to Shida. It's just like, yeah, my dad flew planes and stuff, and he has, like, a little toy plane that he, like, sets up and like, throws across the room. Just a little things like that add up.
Mm-hmm.
Just so nicely.
Yeah. Knowing that this movie took place, or this movie was made in, like, the early, or the late, with, like, the 80s?
Mid to late
80s.
80s, yeah.
Like, I like the fact that, like, the aesthetic, like, it felt like it was, like, old-timey time setting within the movie, like, but it was like that futuristic kind of like it's not totally
retro futurism,
but it's like, it's like, I'd call it like the beginnings of the Industrial Revolution kind of feeling.
I like, for this, I wouldn't there's certain things that you would feel like that would make it this, let me rephrase it, this movie I feel can be timeless, because this is at a point where it's not stretching beyond of what we know technology could do at that point in time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's still grounded enough in reality that you feel like that's, like, that could be happening. Like, for example, you know, like, in the 60s, there's all, like, this crazy future. We're going to have self-driving cars fly into space. Yeah. Like, that stuff, while to a point it can feel timeless, like, this legitimately feels like you could show this to any age demographic and be like, I like this. Like, this aesthetic is good.
Even with, like, the bigger kind of things, like the actual castle in the sky, or even the battleship, the Goliath, I believe it was called, like, they never felt out of place to me. Like, give it more edges, maybe, or, like, give it a different design, and it would lose that kind of, like, that consistency that it has with even, like, the weapons they used. Like, it was, like, regular, like, muskets and, like, regular guns that you see.
That's one of the things that I actually want, Akira Toriyama does extremely well. I know this is a little bit off, but using more curves in your technology, like with all of the capsule core.
Yeah, all the Frieza
technology.
Ships. Oh.
And everything has a lot of rounded edges. There's no hard edges, and that really lends to a futuristic, but without feeling out of place in 5 to 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, it's very good. I love the designs that they use in this movie, and it's very nice, especially with, like, the pirate's airship. It looks super nice, and it has a little chicken head on. You're like, hell yeah.
Gobble gobble.
Blah, 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 blah. Dude, I saw turkeys when I was coming home today.
Oh.
Just did wild turkeys. No, I did gobble at them.
I have some turkeys in my fridge.
Yeah, they're tasty.
They're tasty. Melatonin. That's why you're so tired every Thanksgiving. Unless you have
ham. So, like, this... we were talking a little bit about, like, the timelessness. This was said to be taking place at the end of the 19th century or the beginning of the 20th century in an alternate universe where technology was more advanced, a la, like, Verne.
That makes sense,
author.
Especially like considering the blimps. It makes sense that they were still using blimps because they didn't really have the means to.
Means of creativity.
Yeah, and like the airplane yet. They couldn't have done that yet because wind, whatever, so on.
It's just a really
engines
cool thing that they did. Well, yeah. Miyazaki did.
It's almost like steampunk, but without the edge.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Isn't that what I said?
I think so, or something along those lines.
I probably didn't say edge.
Son, the
probably
hedge.
Said sharp
ow,
stuff.
The hedge. Ow, the hedge.
Ow.
Son, the edge.
Are we all good with this?
Yeah.
I'm going to look thing? Up Patsy the Hedgehog.
Please don't.
Oh my god.
Well, Pino does that. Welcome to the 26th edition of Who's the Best Grill, the part of the podcast where each contestant puts forward their choice for Best Grill of the episode and duke it out for the title of Best Grill. Today, our contestants, once again, always, it's for the last time in this season, are Pino, Garb, and myself.
That must mean my contract's
not
ready.
Who are you each advocating for?
Can I pick Dr. Eggman?
No, I was picking Dr. Eggman.
Dang it, you can have Dr. Eggman. That's
only
fine.
Only if you know what his name is.
No, I don't
without
know.
Looking it
you
up.
Can have him. It's fine. He clearly means much more to you than he does
he
to me.
He means a lot to me.
That's fine. And now we know that Pino and I can pick between Cheetah and Patsu. Okay. So which one do you want, Pino?
You can,
what
you
about
can
Mama?
Choose.
What about Old Lady?
I want to pick Patsu because he's voiced by Dawson from Dawson's Creek.
Well, you're not supposed to give us the reason yet. And I pick Cheetah.
Cheetah. Okay, that explains it. That's
good
fine.
Good work. Okay, Garb, since you already gave us half your answer.
You might as well go.
Yeah, because it's voiced by Dawson of Dawson's Creek.
I really like, since I'm guessing you guys watched the
Lord
dub
knows
too,
I've seen
right?
all of it and hated every second of it. No, I was okay. I just like James Vanderbeek.
I like the fact that you this guys. Kid didn't sound like a kid because I...
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
It's like...
After hearing Kid Gohan and Kid, like, Gotenks, I'm sick
well,
of it.
Like, I don't know. He just doesn't sound right to
I think
me.
He sounds all like, right. Like, he's, like, he's doing that development body change, you know? My voice used to sound like this. And then I sounded
well, he's
like
supposed
this.
To sound... They wanted to make him sound more like a teenager than a preteen,
right.
is the exact thing that I read. Which, I mean, I'm fine with because I'm good on hearing little bitch baby Gohan scream all the time. I'm sick of that. Please stop. Yeah, I'm
Ooh,
done
it's
with
not
that.
Wednesday.
I can hear like one kid that sounds like a 20-year-old man acting like a kid. Like whatever, I'll put up with it just because it's different.
I'll put up with it. I thought this dub was fantastic. Anyways,
yeah. We watched Pino and I saw the
Patsu. Patsu's just a stinky boy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Got him.
He's a good boy though.
He's an orphan,
isn't he? Yeah,
he's an orphan.
That's not his fault.
We don't like different.
He killed his parents.
It's because he ate him. He ate them. He vored them.
Oh, wait a second. That's not in script.
And changed the line to, or changed the sign to 0 days since last mention of vore.
Oh, God. I blame Patsu.
We're not allowed to talk about it.
No, but Patsu overall, I really enjoyed his character. He was
He's a good character, but I don't think a good grill. You know?
Yeah.
That's where I was going at.
And Dr. Eggman is. He's only in for like 2 scenes.
But he's not an Eggman.
Aha, I'm rebuttaling. Retaliate, you crusty boy.
On guard.
Fight.
I'm asking you if you shit your pants, John.
It's what I do.
Come on. Tell me your story. Why is yours better? Come on. Hit me.
Come on, Pina.
Okay, so it was my cue. All right. I picked Sheeta, otherwise known as Lushita Tole Ul Laputa.
Bless
Thank
you.
Thank you. You gotta erase that off the counter, too. Besides, Chuck tells me to bless myself.
I'll get you one day.
Maybe. I think I got you last
Maybe
episode.
Maybe not. I don't think so.
We'll go back. We'll check the tapes.
I'm not gonna check the tapes.
I don't think you will.
Anyways, I picked her because I like ponytails and braids, and I liked her accent.
Braids.
That's it? That's the only reason you picked her?
No. She was like full of, she was like very nice. Her personality was very kind. She was a, she was willing to go that extra mile to help out. She's very caring, so, very nice.
The dub and I that Pino watched,
it was the Disney dub.
She, yeah, we watched the specifically the Disney dub because there are multiple dubs of,
and by multiple, yeah, there was
a, just to, for a history lesson for y'all. There was a streamline dub which was made for Japanese Airlines in 1989, which was rushed and kind of shitty. And then Disney, as we said before, has a contract with Ghibli made in 1995, which they redubbed this in 2003.
Yeah.
And so, excuse me.
The dub we saw was done by them, and I was just going to insult this dub because the voice actress for My Cat's Trying to Eat My Bread, it's not a good situation. And voice actress for Sheeta, she sounded British sometimes and then sometimes not. And it was really weird. It, and it sounded stupid, Pino.
It says here, her accents, her accent tends to fluctuate, but her acting is actually quite good. So
yes,
take that.
Acting is good when I'm not being distracted by the stupid British
I thought
voice.
It was a good take. Like, it was a good, it was like a good touch to this piece of art. It really reveals its time, because again, like, I related this to a certain time period in my mind. I also related it to some, for some reason, to like a European setting in my mind. So having these voices also kind of sound in a way with an accent. This is why it fit for me.
It was definitely meant to be kind of give you a more European vibe.
It's
kind of
like the Tommy Wiseau's voice.
I did not
hear. You can't really tell where in Europe, but it's somewhere in Europe.
I'm over here, you know, in between the Basque country.
It's
and that's in Spain, but I meant in between that country.
Het.
Also, I did not hear.
I did not hear her.
No, but she's an overall very like cheerful.
She's a likable character, but she's also a small child.
She can't pick an accent.
Yeah, but so is Potsy. I never said I was going to do anything bad. Just pecked her as best girl.
Yeah. Maybe best girl means best adopted girl.
Maybe it means best daughter. Who knows?
Yeah.
You're right. Guys, Motro.
That's not a daughter.
Is the best character. Do you know why?
I can't
because
believe
he's Dr. Eggman. He's so good.
I've noticed.
He's an old man.
I noticed there's a lot of Dr. Eggmans within the Ghibli franchise. And by many, I mean maybe about two.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow. Why is this aesthetic
he's Eggman,
so...
Eggman, and he's fantastic. He's beautiful.
Why is it so...
He's really great. Funny at the end whenever he's sad about his ship being destroyed. And mom's like, well, get you a new ship.
I'll get
but
you
he's like,
another
but
one.
It's not my ship. And he's just great because he's like, he's an engineer and he also knows how to play chess and he beat Mama in chess.
Of course. Take that.
He's a smart boy. He knows both mechanics and chess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Therefore, he has a big IQ brain.
Yeah. He watches Rick and Morty.
I didn't want to make that
joke. Oh, there he goes. You shouldn't have said it.
You were asking for it. You guys
anyway,
made a gosh dang
he's great.
Nuts
he's
joke.
Great because he
this.
Yelled sometimes as well.
I'm glad he was pertinent to the movie, though.
Yeah, he's great. He makes me happy every time I saw him. I scream.
Cool. I'm glad that
he watches Rick and Morty, so he's not that good.
Shut up. Rick and Morty doesn't exist in the end of the 19th century, dumbass.
Yeah, it does.
But his mustache is very prickly.
His mustache
Rick transcends space and time.
No, shut up. No one loves
you.
Got
a point.
Anyway, guys, if you have anything to talk about, you should email us at funkyanimepodcast@gmail.com or contact at funkyanimepodcast. And for this episode, why don't you just tell us like how you felt about this like season, this entire project.
Let us know what we could do better or like what we can continue to do well.
Tell us like what you think.
You know what?
Give us some feedback. And if you want to, you should always, if you could rank us on iTunes, that always helps a lot. And really the best way that you can help this podcast grow is tell someone about it. Like literally the best thing is
tell
share
just
it with
a
someone.
Friend. Just be like, hey. You like anime,
and you know,
you fucking piece of shit.
This is totally not a pyramid scheme. If you tell two friends, they'll tell two friends. And then hopefully those two friends will tell two friends.
And they'll tell two friends. And by that time, we'll have a billion, bajillion followers.
Don't draw that on a board or on a piece of paper or anything.
Don't.
Just try not to.
I've been dying to talk about the podcast.
It's not a pyramid scheme.
Yeah. No, but it's like I know we joke a lot, but it's legitimately, it helps a shit ton just to like tell someone or talk about it. Be like, hey.
Listen, they have the funny ha-has.
Look, they have
that person. It really does help, though. So thank you, everyone, who, like, listens to the show, obviously, and does all that. And
there's
so,
a couple of you. We know.
Like one.
Yeah. You mean the one that ran away?
I want to thank Sid.
Hey, Sid.
Thank you. Sid the Sloth. And I want to thank Gaffa Cakes for them both sending me money, but not real money.
Pictures
Sid
of money.
Sid sent me $3 signs, and then Gaffa sent me a $1 bill image. So I feel very wealthy,
guys,
in my soul. So thank you guys very much. And if you
made a quick
and if you want to send me money, just kind of shut the fuck up. Anyway, if you just email us or tweet at us, do whatever the hell you want. So do we want to talk about anything else? Do we have any stinky things lying in my subconscious before
things.
We go
this
for it.
This felt like a good adventure, and this kind of reminded me. It kind of reminded me. Again, this is going to be more towards me. It reminded me of the first time I saw One Piece myself, because it just felt like an adventure. Like I'm in for any kind of huge adventure with things that people think aren't real or things that just seem like they're out of your reach. And like I really like watching this film. I was like, yes, this place. Obviously, it's got to be real. But what is it hiding? What mysteries is it hiding?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Also, the little cubes.
You don't know what it looks like yet.
But the cubes in the inside of the castle remind me of a certain artifact that you find in One Piece, which are called the Poneglyphs, which is actually like, when I saw that, I was thinking to myself, maybe this is maybe like the Poneglyphs were like inspired by this kind of cubic thing going on inside there. And I was just like, but they're destroying all this history when the entire castle fell. So like I was just like, wow, all this history's gone.
It's sad.
Yeah.
It reminded me a lot of like Final Fantasy, especially like the ending parts, you know, where everything gets weird. And the end of Final Fantasy IV, where like there's fucking aliens for some reason.
Dude, alien though.
It happens.
I don't question it, of course.
And like the floating islands in Chrono Trigger, it made me think of that. I got a lot of feelings about Chrono Trigger.
Maybe someday we'll make an anime out of it.
Maybe one day.
And then we can talk about it.
I think they kind of did, but it was kind of just like basically filler.
Who cares? Anyway, I think there was something that I want to talk about, but I don't think I did. I don't know. It was just, I really enjoyed it. It made me real happy. I watched it when it was real late at night, and I still like super enjoyed it, and it kept my attention.
Yeah. I was playing Pokemon Pearl and watching it.
I was
writing
about isolationism and watching it.
I was sitting in my room alone at 1 a.m. watching it.
That's the only way to watch anime.
But I can't stay up that late.
I shouldn't stay up that late.
I shouldn't, but I do sometimes. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was good.
Is there anything else that we... Yeah, I highly recommend.
And we'll watch more Ghibli, I promise.
For sure.
We're going to space it out.
We're going to space it out probably maybe like one a season.
Oh. Yeah. I mean, that's fair, right?
There's only so many Ghibli films.
We're going to run out and then we'll have to stop the podcast.
No more Ghibli films? I'm out.
Sorry.
Whenever Miyazaki dies, the podcast ends.
Yeah. There he goes.
We're not going to do that. Even if he dies, we'll just watch like 5 Ghibli movies in a row.
Yeah. That's going to be a mega episode.
Yeah. Super mega episode.
Dude, super
guys,
Mega Man.
Follow
5.
Guys, follow 3 Weebros on everything.
And then follow Ryan from Super Mega.
Only Ryan, not Matt.
Yeah. Not Matt, just Ryan.
Fuck Matt. Just kidding. I love you, Matt. If you ever listen, he won't. They don't watch anime. Anyway. Let's hit ratings, right?
Yeah.
That's what we do. The final rating of the season. So, who wants to go first?
4.75. Done.
Oh! What a boy.
Wow. You know, that was...
there's still some weirdness here and there. Like, I was talking to you before we started recording about how it was still very obvious when there was something in the background that was going to fall apart, but another part didn't. You know, whenever it's all light color and it's not watercolor like everything else, it's very clearly just a solid color and it sticks out. You know, that kind of, that was the only thing that made me like, but you can tell this was like kind of the first one.
Yeah.
And there were a lot of things that just, like, there were just robots. I guess to make it feel more alien and strange, there were robots, but those just felt like, okay, but I believe it. I understand it, but...
Yeah.
I'm a sucker for those kinds of things, though. I'm just like...
Yeah, me too.
You're revealing your age.
How about you, Pino?
I'll give this... you know what? I had a very fun time. Thank you for recommending it. You know, I've always wanted to watch some of the Ghibli films. and this was a good one to start on. You know, starting on a high note instead of that one sad one we'll watch eventually.
Oh my god. Oh no, don't even talk about
this. This was a good start to Studio Ghibli.
Yeah, so I'm gonna give this a 4.4 out of 5. It was a good time. Ooh. Simple premise, simple storyline, which I'm always down for. But you know,
yeah, kept it nice and easy.
It's good. You know, I like it. You know, I'd recommend it. Is it the best thing I've ever seen? It's not the best, but it is up there. It's like really up there.
It's really good. Mm-hmm. Like for like the amount of what we talk about and like things that we've seen, this is definitely like close to the top of what we watched this season.
It was excellent.
Mm-hmm.
It was excellent. I'm gonna give it a. I think I want to give it a 4.6.
Oh,
which has been a pretty around the same rating that I've given like. Almost two of the last three, but
yeah,
it was really good. Like that's a 9 out of 10. Mm-hmm. Like that's a passing grade. That's wicked.
Well, I mean,
I assure you, there is some garbage coming down the drain. Sorry, what? I know. There's a delay on my mic, so sometimes I can't tell if I'm interrupting you. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. I wasn't gonna say anything. I actually don't remember.
All right, yeah. Chuck.
Well, the kid who's now falling with the stone, but, like, not slowing down for some reason, he's, like, holding on, and then he realizes it's just a rock that he's holding.
Yeah, it's not actually a mystical stone. Yeah, it's just a rock.
He's just falling now. Well, that's Pino.
It's gonna be embarrassing if they know it's not a real stone. Where are we dropping, boys?
Oh, no. I can't wait to meet Pino on the battlefield.
You're going to meet my grave on the battlefield. I'm already splatting.
the businessman who's also jumped, but he has his nifty glider. Well, that's Garbalax.
I have a glider.
He's ready to see me. I wish I
was playing PUBG instead.
and
sucks too.
yeah, you're kind of right.
And the pirate ship that is not moving because he's not in water. Well, that's Chuck. Hey guys, hey. I'm not moving.
At least you're alive.
I'm a pirate ship. Well, you're still alive for a little bit.
I guess.
Yeah.
The rock covered one for long.
Yeah, and we are the Three Weebros, and this has been the Funky Anime Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. It's been a year of content.
We've slowly
gotten more listens, and it's been nice.
Yeah, thank you for listening and getting through all this bullshit, especially if you're here right now. I want to just thank you specifically.
From the bottom of my farts.
Okay, shut up. we've been doing a lot of... Like, we've been improving little by little, and I just want to thank you guys for sticking through with us. We still have made a lot of mistakes. We still all got a lot of way to go, but your listenership really helps, and it makes us happy and warm on the inside. So tune in a couple weeks from now to listen to our Q&A and our little... We're going to reflect on the season, so to say. And so we'll...
Episode 26.5, if you will.
We're just going to call it...
The beach episode. With the
season 1 recap. We're not. Whatever. Anyway.
No. This is not the swimming episode.
But I can't swim.
Not yet.
Hey guys, thank you for listening. And stay fapping.
Pino drowned.
Oh no.